You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello and a warm welcome along to this week's William Hill Golf Podcast. Sam Norris and Dave Tindall joining you on this edition to look ahead to the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play. And we're only a couple of weeks away from the Masters. As mentioned myself, Sam Norris joined in the studio by Dave Tindall to take a look at this week's sole event and a look back on last week as well. Dave, how are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Sam. This is a tricky week, the Match Play, but... cracking field as always. There's a few who've missed out, Justin Rose and Henrik Stenson, Adam Scott, Ricky Fowler as well. Basically because of what you've just said, it's the Masters. A lot of them don't see this as good prep for the Masters. So if you have thought that's the ultimate goal, we'll give this one a miss.
Due to the format of the tournament this week, the fact that it's match play as opposed to stroke
probably,
play.
Probably, yeah, it's probably the... But it might just be the week it falls on. They'll have a particular routine.
Yes.
Some people like to have a few weeks off or play a lot, so... that's why, because obviously there's a fair few quid on offer
this
week.
Yes, indeed.
But I think to these guys, they can. It's more important to get it right to win the ultimate trophy. So, we'll have to see. Maybe we can look back and see how those players do at the Masters and whether it was a good idea to skip this one.
Yeah, I sort of forget sometimes that all these guys have got particular regimented schedules, and it's not a case of, nah, I feel like playing this week, don't feel like playing next week. This is all mapped out.
Yeah, and some will just think... playing match, but it did used to be the case with this one that you could turn up here, lose your first match and you've gone home.
Right.
At least now the change in format, you're guaranteed
round robin.
Three matches. So that does help, but for some it's still not enough.
Yes. Let's look back on last week first of all, because it was a superb weekend of golf. A great finish to the Arnold Palmer Invitational with several big guns in contention on the final day. It was Rory McIlroy who ended up prevailing, secured his win, his first win on tour since 2016. A bogey-free round of 64 on the final day to seal the deal. Roy described that as a perfect round of golf. No one shot a better round all week. Henrik Stenson matched it in the first round with a 64. We said on the podcast last week, Dave, that you'd need to be a loyal Rory fan to back him at 16-1 after his recent showings. Anyone who stuck with him, their loyalty has been repaid, because it really was a superb performance.
Absolutely, yeah. And shame on me for
indeed.
For abandoning him. But yeah, it was a brilliant performance, a brilliant final round when you had all these big names.
Yeah.
It was real, felt like a sort of end of a major almost. And yeah, that was vintage Rory. It was all those little bits that go into making him special. There was a chip in, there was a run of birdies, there was a big cold putt at the last. It was very much a high-class player winning in style, and we've missed that from Rory. He used to do it a lot. That used to be kind of one of his sort of trademarks, that he could do that sort of thing. And it is great to add another player to the mix. You look at this year, everyone's sort of turning up and putting in big performances. Tiger was top five again, so that was another, you know, a validation of his return to form. So yeah, it was a brilliant event, that one.
Yeah, indeed. We'll take a quick look at the Masters betting in just a moment. Want to mention Tiger Woods as well. Spoke about him on the podcast last week, playing some sublime golf once again, playing with a smile on his face as well, which was nice to see. And he's really mesmerising to watch when he's in full flow. Whether you're an ardent golf fan or not, just a general sports fan, so good to watch when he's in that kind of mood.
That's it. We're sort of lucky in golf, because you think in other sports, maybe a dominant player in their era. As I'm a Liverpool fan, let's say Steven Gerrard.
Right.
He can't now come back after 5 years, because his legs have gone.
Yeah.
But in golf, you've got this career that can extend and extend. So Tiger, it's like, oh, we get a chance to sort of see a legend for a second go. And it would be great if he could just ice the cake with a win, and especially in the major.
Yeah, absolutely. Just a couple of weeks away from the Masters now, McIlroy shot to the head of the betting as a result of his win last week. He's 8-1, Tiger just behind at 9-1. Have the traders been a little bit too reactionary to that pair to be as short as they are, given the inconsistencies both have shown over the last few years? Or are they right to be taking evasive action after last week? Do they have no choice?
I mean, they know there's a big bank of support for those two players,
so
they know they're going to get hammered if any sort of price was dangled. So I can see why there's some caution in those prices. But it does mean there's an awful lot of players sort of between Rory and sort of 16-1. So, yeah, it does seem wide open. And it almost seems like you can't imagine any of those Top Guns not being in contention.
Yeah, absolutely. It's shaping up to be a superb tournament. Just been through the betting quickly. Rory McIlroy is 8-1 for the Masters. Dustin Johnson and Tiger Woods both 9-1. Justin Thomas 10-1. Jordan Spieth 12-1. 14's about Justin Rose. 16's for Jason Day. 18's John Rahm. 18's also Phil Mickelson. 20-1 and bigger the rest. As you say, Dave, all the big names are there. Of course, it is a major. But plenty are playing with a reasonably good deal of consistency at the moment. There aren't too many that you think, well, he's bang out of form.
No, that's the thing. And you would have thought, how does Fowler get to, what, joint 13th favourite? How is that possible?
Yeah.
It just shows that everyone's sort of raised their game. You've got even someone like Bubba at 25s.
Yeah.
I mean, he's won this year, won the Masters twice. It does seem really sort of... I mean, it is a smaller field than other majors, so the price at the top end will be a bit shorter, and obviously there's course form that we know is exposed. But yeah, it's kind of... Sometimes you think, well, he's the most obvious winner and, like, his seventh favourite. Jordan Spieth, and not long ago you would have said he will be the favourite for the Masters, and yet here he is, fifth favourite.
Yeah, it's quite incredible stuff. We're still a couple of weeks away, of course, from the Masters. Let's move on to this week's event then, the WGC Dell Technologies Match Play, the PGA Tour heading to Austin, Texas. This one played at the Austin Country Club, plays to a par of 71 and measures in at 7,108 yards. A spin through the betting sees that man Rory McIlroy head affairs again at 7-1, a previous winner of this event, and obviously won the Arnold Palmer last week. 9-1 for Dustin Johnson, 10-1 about Justin Thomas. John Rahm is 12-1, 14's for Jason Day, 18's Jordan Spieth, 20-1 Paul Casey and Phil Mickelson, 25-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. We touched on this at the top of the podcast, Dave. Some notable names are missing the event. Justin Rose, Ricky Fowler, Brooks Koepka, Henrik Stenson and Adam Scott all missing out, giving a chance for some of those players ranked 64th to or 65th to 70th a chance to play in this, which is traditionally just for the world's top 64. The format this week, the field split into 16 groups of four who will play in round-robin matches from Wednesday till Friday. Then the winner's bracket, which involves the 16 group winners, will play out the tournament over the weekend, again in a match play format. Traditionally, over the last few years, the cream has risen to the top in this tournament, with Dustin Johnson, Jason Day twice and Rory McIlroy all winning over the past 4 years. Before we get stuck into the betting, I'm a big fan of match play golf. I think it's... I wouldn't want it every week, but I think it's nice to have every now and again. It offers a different kind of betting medium, but generally, golf punters would say that it's not the easiest format to play in. Do you approach these match play events with a bit more trepidation than you would do normally?
I think so. Maybe I think you've got to think, rather than a kind of serious punt, you're almost thinking, well, I'll play this one and enjoy it.
Yes.
But I've got to be aware that I could be dead by... of the weekend. But as I said earlier, it used to be worse. It used to be your nightmare scenario. You'd wake up Thursday morning and all your picks have gone.
Yes.
At least with this pool play or group play, you get three shots at it. But I was having a look at the kind of facts and figures and do you need to win. A lot of players do need to go 3-0 in the group, basically.
Right.
So you can... There's not many times you can actually lose a game and still advance. I think once you've lost one, you're really under the cosh and you might have to get through via a group playoff. So even though there's some leeway, you basically just got to keep winning from the get-go.
Yes, because of course there's no top two progressing from each group. You need to win the group.
That's it. You can't be sort of like England in the World Cup playing a 0-0 with Nigeria or something.
You've try and draw all three scrape through.
You've got to get winning.
It is a little bit of a difficult format to play. So what I'm going to do, Dave, to try and make it a little bit easier, we'll take one from each quarter and separate it in that sort of format. So quarter by quarter, I'll get you to offer up a pick from each quarter, your idea of progressing from them. We've got group betting on the William Hill website as well, so you can back players to win their group. And we're quarter of the odds, place 1-4 on this event. If we break it down, so I'll give you four picks this week, Dave, whether you want four or not.
Well, someone did tip me off that you might ask me this, so I have underlined a player in each group. I think when you said earlier that the cream rises to the crop and you listed those four recent winners, it does show that, you know, it's not a lottery.
Yes.
So I don't really apologise for putting two players up who are probably in the top five in the betting, because that's, you know, they've been winning in past years. So if we start with the top, I don't know whether they've got it. Sometimes they have a name, but we'll go with quarter one, okay, say. And the player I like there is Jason Day, no surprises, yep, there. 14-1, two-time winner of this event, absolutely loves match play. He was third in 2013, won it in 2014, won it at this venue in 2016. He's just got the perfect game for match play, really has. He's tenacious, holds loads of putts when you think he might be out of a hole, and just keeps going. So Jason Day, I think at 14s, is a good way to kick us off. He's already won this year as well, won at Torrey Pines, finished runner-up at Pebble Beach after that. Now, he wasn't really on the leaderboard last week, but he was still tied 22nd at the Arnold Palmer, and that was after over a month off. So I think that's kind of a shifting the rust kind of exercise. Yeah. So I think for this, I think he'll be bang on it again. So he's the one I like. I mean, Dustin Johnson is in that quarter, and he's the defending champion and world number one. But I think last year, DJ was absolutely on fire. He was at like the peak of his powers. This year, he's been a bit more hit and miss. So I think Johnson is gettable. So I think if anyone's going to take him down, it's going to be Jason Day.
Okay. Jason Day is 14-1 for the tournament. On to quarter number two then.
Yeah, if this is the right order. But this is certainly a separate quarter. And the one I'm going to go for, it's a guy you'll think of as a match play specialist, Patrick Reed.
Yeah.
Last two Ryder Cups, he's been awesome.
He loves it, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely loves it. And sometimes you can get that where maybe it's the fact that it's team play and that's why he's loving it. But then again, you think of someone like Ian Poulter, probably the most famous example of a player raising his game in match play in Ryder Cups. Well, he's won this event before, so it can certainly translate. Rory obviously done great things in Ryder Cups. He's won this event. So I think if you just got that kind of mano a mano kind of look your opponent in the eye kind of mentality, and Patrick Reed loves it.
Yes.
I think at some point he's going to throw in a big, big performance in this tournament, Patrick Reed. So I don't want to miss out. He's 28-1. It's a decent enough price to play him. And it's one of those ones, he's almost, at the end we always do, who do you not want to win? Well, if he won a match play event, you think, well, why? That was so obvious.
Yes.
Because he's, in terms of the Americans, he would be Mr. Match Play. He's the one you most think of as raising his game in this particular format, Patrick Reed. Just looking at his recent form, 7th in the Arnold Palmer and runner-up in the Valspar. So really, really good. Recent form allied to his match play prowess. I think we've got a good bet at 28s in quarter two.
Yeah, I like that. Patrick Reed, 28-1. Then on the draw bracket that we're looking at, this is quarter number three, on the other side of the draw, if you like. Where do you go there?
Yeah, this is a tricky one, the third quarter. Paul Casey's in there, and he's won recently, got a good match play record. Justin Thomas would probably be the obvious one.
Yep.
He's just 10-1 in the outrights. He would be favourite to win that quarter. But if you look at Thomas's form in Texas, it's not very good. I'm not quite sure why.
Right.
Maybe there's limited evidence. But he hasn't quite found his best play in this format. So whereas others, you think, match play, they'll particularly like that. Say Day, for example. With Thomas, he's yet to sort of show his hand. So I'd rather wait for him to prove that he's got, you know, match play kind of prowess to his name. So I'm gonna go a bit left field and go for Dylan Fratelli.
Okay.
Which seems a bit odd, but if you think back to last year, we had Tanihara from Japan in the semi-finals, and that was all. I know Dave Kellen has mentioned him in other podcasts, but to get him into the last four in a field like this just seems impossible. Whereas Fratelli, at least there is some logic because he went to college there. He was a teammate of Jordan Spieth,
right.
So he's a Texas Longhorn. So they interviewed him yesterday, actually. We're talking now on Tuesday. They interviewed him on Monday, and he said he'd played this course 50-odd times. He actually went there as a spectator last year. So he's got to have some sort of edge. And basically, he's a very fine player. You look at his form since November, and he's basically top 20 every week. Really, really good. And the thing I liked as well, he was, a lot of those are in Europe. He was tied 11th in the Honda Classic. So he's gone back to America. He's South African. He's gone to America and shown he can take on the best. And sometimes in this format, you can squeak through. I know ultimately maybe you're going to get a top-class winner, but you can certainly maybe have a run to the semis and the 80s. We can play him. It's quarter to 1, 2, 3, 4, so it's a nice 20-to-1 payout if you can get there. And I just don't think this is the most kind of competitive section. You've got Sergio in there, but he's just become a new dad, and that might just, I know there's the nappy factor, but I think that kicks in later. Sergio, he's got to be thinking about the Masters and what he's going to put on the menu and all those sort of things.
Yeah, of course.
So I think he's gettable, and his record, to be honest, in the match play is poor. And then you look down it, if you think Thomas is beatable, if you think Sergio's beatable, I think there's maybe a bit of a hole there for some surprise package to come through. And just the local element, plus the fact that I've picked favourites in other areas, I thought Fratelli would be my dark horse.
Yeah, a big price as well, Dylan Fratelli, 80-to-1 for the tournament outright. And chuck me one from quarter number four, Dave.
Yeah, this is more obvious. John Rahm.
Yep.
Made the final last year. And he didn't just make the final. If you look at the score lines he was winning by, he smashed Sergio 6-4, beat Charles Howell the same score line, then won 7-5 against Kjeldsen. So he was just absolutely mullering everybody. Got to the final. He did show his inexperience a bit, but he was up against Dustin Johnson, who was, as we said, peak DJ at the time. So I think Rahm is just going to be one of those players who will be a match play, kind of the backbone of the European Ryder Cup team. I'm so glad he's... Sometimes people forget because he started his career in America.
Yeah.
And you think, no, he's European, isn't he? Spanish.
He's not got a massively Spanish-sounding name either. It's not quite Sergio Garcia, is it?
No. He's from the Basque country, I think,
right.
Rahm. So Rahm is... Yeah, people have said before they didn't realise he was Spanish for quite a while.
Yeah.
So he's been on fire for, the early part of this season or last season. Clearly loves this track, the way he was defeating people last time. He was winner at the Career Builder Challenge earlier this season. He's gone a little bit just, it's hard to say, flat, because he's still finishing like tied 20th, but he's just gone a little flatter than his absolute peak. But I think this is the tournament where he will come alive again. Again, they've interviewed him, and they said, why do you like match playing? You're just at the summit in the Spaniards, you think of Seve and Ollie.
Yeah.
Just something they seem to absolutely adore in this event. And again, if he won, given what he did last year, I would just go, oh. So Rahm, I think there's a few in his section that I like, to be fair. Cabrera Bayo, fellow Spaniard, we've got him at 50s. Brandon Grace, who I like as well. So it's a tough quarter, but I think ultimately he's just the one who could overpower everyone. And I think once he gets up ahead of steam, it's kind of matches just come thick and fast. You've got to play 7 to win. He just seems like a runaway train. So, ideally it would be a Rahm Fratelli semi-final in that half against the Day Patrick Reed semi in the other, and then we can't lose.
Yeah, indeed.
What a wonderful thing that would be.
I think you'd get some price hashtag your odds as well on that as well. There are 4 to focus on from each quarter then. Of the quartet then, your preference in terms of a winner? In terms of betting this week?
Yeah, I would probably go Rahm because I can, as I say, once he's, if he can just maybe win his first match and just sort of get going, then I think he could be unstoppable.
Yeah, the first match could be key. He's 12-1 for John Rahm. Was there anything else that came close to being a bet? We've discussed a fair few candidates in each quarter there, Dave. Anyone you haven't touched on yet?
Yeah, I think, say he wanted a bit of insurance. Say Rahm wasn't on it and just struggled, Cabrera Bayo could be the man to come through there. He was 3rd in this a couple of years ago at this venue, so clearly likes the course. And he was 3rd in the WGC Mexico on his last start. So he's a fairly obvious candidate. Obviously, the draw could go against him. But if you want to sort of take out the short prices, Rahm and Day, and go for bigger prices, certainly Cabrera Bayo would be one at 50s.
Okay. Staking strategies then, obviously we mentioned at the start of the podcast, match play format, it's one that you have to perhaps reduce the stakes compared to the traditional stroke play.
Yeah, so certainly for Telly I'd go half a point each way at 80s.
Yeah.
The other ones, Reid a point each way at 28s, it's just what you do with a 12 and a 14. If they got all the way to the final and they lost, you'd feel a bit gutted, so I'd probably have to go, I don't want to throw too much at it though. I'll probably just go a point each way on Rahm and Day at 14.
Okay, keep it safe and sensible this week. Don't forget as well, this event this week tees off on the Wednesday afternoon, so do make sure you get your bets on in plenty of time
good point
ahead of the event. It's Wednesday start time. A quarter of the odds place, 1, 2, 3, and 4 for the Dell Technologies match play coming up. There's also one other event coming up this week as well, the Corrales Punta Cana Resorts and Club Championship. Where
what's that, people yeah, may be
indeed.
Saying?
There's a smattering of known players in the tournament. Obviously, the leading lights either having a break this week or playing in Austin. We're a quarter of the odds place, 1 through until 5. There's one or two familiar names in the lineup, Dave, but do you have anything on your mind for the other tournament this week?
Not really. I mean, there's Emiliano Grillo has been playing well, but I mean, he's 10-1.
Yeah.
So that kind of shit. If he's 10-1, then this is a pretty weak field. I mean, there is some course form to go on, just to let people know. I think there's 50 or 54 players who've played this
right.
course before when it's been used as a web.com track. Nate Lashley, if you want a course winner, he won there. So what have we got him at?
He is. Let's have a look for the price of
Nate. Well, that's good that we can't
Lashley.
Immediately see him. 50s.
50-1, yeah.
Yeah, if he placed and you knew that he'd won on this course before, you'd think, you know, that was fairly obvious. You've got Paul Dunn, the Irishman, coming over for it there. There's some winners in that lot. Scott Pearce, he's won before. Jim Furyk, obviously.
Yeah.
American Ryder Cup captain. So there's a few good names, but the names you probably know haven't played the course before, so we're into the realms of guesswork. So possibly, well, I was going to say, you could watch it for 2 days. How are you going to watch it? I don't know if you can watch it. But
true idea, I'm not sure.
And will you be watching it either? But yeah, certainly if you want to dig out the course form, it is there for 50-odd of these players. And if you think web.com form will translate, it's an obvious way to play this event, then it's there for you. But it's personally, I'm all on the match play.
If Nate Lashley hits the frame, though, we'll let you claim it on the podcast next week. thank you very much for that, Dave. Good to speak to you again. Do check out all the golf betting on the William Hill website ahead of those two events that we've got coming up this week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.